Greetings, programs, and welcome to another episode of Recruit a Friend, the show where we learn about the people behind the keyboard. This week, we're sitting down with the Warcraft legend, top shelf caster, downhill champion, community icon, and the best damn cowgirl you'll ever see in a Honda commercial. Let's give a big Recruit a Friend welcome to Aya. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me. What an intro.
Yeah, well, it's you. That's I was going through the list of, I had to like take things out that you do. I don't even mention you're a voice actor.
Oh, yeah. There's it. Yeah.
Yeah. You do a lot.
I do. One of my good friends during the race was first like yelled at me just to pick a job recently. Right. I think that's my new motto.
Yeah. Just pick a job. Yeah, you do. You're like.
Just pick one.
Yeah. Many hats. Many hats for Aya.
Yes. Yeah. You have
cool.
A lot.
Let's jump right into it. How did you first get exposed to the Warcraft universe?
So I started about a month into Burning Crusade. So it was like March 2007 or something like that. My dad brought it home. He works in like the tech world and was a big gamer, you know, like Quake and Unreal Tournament and those sorts of games, but all PC games. He brought home World of Warcraft once with his... like employees recommendation or something, and my brother and I hopped on it as well. He didn't really stick with it, but my brother and I did. My brother still plays. He's actually playing now. I think he's probably better than me. I think he has a higher IO score than me, which bugs me. But yeah, so my brother and I stuck with it. And I've been playing sort of off and on, like most Warcraft players play off and on ever since.
Mm-hmm. Did you know or did you expect at any point, like early on then, back in Burning Crusade, that I'm just going to make this a career?
No, I there was actually a period of time, like I think after Burning Crusade, right around the time that Cataclysm started, that I thought I was done with World of Warcraft forever. Like I just kind of put it down and got into other games for a really long time, but probably like less than a year. And I picked it back up again because some of my friends at school were playing it. But I mean, I have like a dog hair in my mouth or cat hair or something. I don't know.
Kind of
I'm so glad you have video now for this season so everyone could witness that. If anyone's listening, I literally just like reached into my mouth to get cat hair out of there.
Really impressive, like your whole hand was in there.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I can stick my whole fist in my mouth. That's a Mean Girls quote. By the way, have you seen the new Mean Girls
musical? Saw it last week.
It's fantastic. Oh god, really? Oh, it looks really bad from the trailer. You were the first person that I've heard say that they liked it.
I am a massive musical fan. So,
oh god, are you a musical theater kid?
No, I wish I had been. I shouldn't say no. I was in a musical theater in high school, so I guess yes.
Okay, yes, you are. You are. I was too. Yeah. The amount of musical theater kids that work in esports now is hilarious. It's like an ongoing joke with me and my friend group. But, anyways, I don't remember what I was answering the question. What was I saying?
You had taken a break for about a year.
Yes,
and came back.
Took a break. Yeah, I went to film school. I got a degree there. I went to tourism school. I got a degree there. And then after I started working in esports. And then that's when I a year into working in esports, I didn't really consider it something I could do as a career. So no, it took a long time for me to kind of settle and be like, okay, this is probably the industry I'm sticking with.
Is there a lot of overlap between film school and esports?
Yeah, there is. I got an associate's in film and media, and I left because I sort of wanted something that was a bit more applicable to a lot of other industries. So I opted for a bachelor's degree, and it's called sustainable tourism at Colorado State. And, it's more of a marketing business communications degree. And I thought that there'd just be more career options with that. Like you don't really need a degree to work in film. I was like, okay, I probably won't be doing film. But once I started working in esports and doing some sort of producing and some of my own content, doing grassroots stuff where we had to edit some of our own content, editing, being able to edit and put something together has been a really helpful skill to have. Okay. So for sure, I think there's a lot of overlap. I work with a lot of people that work in esports, but they're not gamers at all. They just have a film background and are the people behind the camera. Making things happen.
What was your first esports gig?
I started with GCDTV, which is they are a grassroots PvP tournament organizer. They don't really do much now because a lot of them just kind of work for Blizzard and work the AWC and MDI circuits. Okay. So I think it was just one of those. Actually, yeah, I started off as an admin mid-tournament. They were like, hey, do you want to come admin for us? Like, you just graduated college. Do you need some work? And I was like, yeah, that'd be great. And so I adminned this tournament. And the first ever player that I talked to, I had to tell him that his name was like against the rules or something. I had to change it. And he threatened to kill me.
What?
I'm not even joking. He threatened to kill me. He had no idea who I was. I was just admin two to him. Because we had to kick him out of, we had to kick him out of the tournament or something like that. I had to really come down on him. Literally first ever thing I ever did in esports. And this player's threatening to kill me. And he got banned, but you know, the rest of, I didn't, that never happened again. Well, that's not true, but it wasn't as bad after that. It was just kind of, you know, they threw me into the deep end, but
I love that. Welcome to esports. I'm going to kill you.
Well, yeah, that was a good time. Yeah. Shout out that guy. I hope he's got therapy or something since then.
Yeah, really. Calm the fuck down. That's crazy. So did you know, how early on did you know, okay, you know what? I actually love this and this is what I want to do. Or do you even know that now?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I started off with adminning, like tournament adminning. So my job was to enforce rules basically and, you know, help keep the tournament bracket structure organized and stuff like that. And I actually really hated it. And frankly, I don't think I was that good at it. We're only like 10 minutes in this podcast and you can probably already tell I'm like really scatterbrained in general. So I'm not like a rule type of person at all. My boyfriend calls me type AFK as opposed to type A.
I like that.
Thank you. I'll let him know. But I hated it. I loved esports and I loved the industry and I love World of Warcraft, but I knew that once I realized I wanted to work in esports, I knew that adminning wasn't something that I really felt like I was shining in, or making like a difference as much as I could make doing something else. Cause I've always come from kind of a creative background. So I did have a moment where I was like, okay, I want to do this, but I want to end up more on like the creating side, the producing side, or the casting side, which is where I sort of ended up also.
Was it tough to make that transition from admin to the face?
Mentally it was. I got extremely, extremely lucky, that I was given a chance through GCD. I did a couple of their tournaments hosting, and then I, you know, AWC just so happened to need an onstage interviewer. So that part was like, I don't want to say easy. I just got, it kind of just felt, the opportunity fell into my lap. But the actual like getting from, you know, behind the camera to in front of the camera where I'm not a PvPer. That's not a secret. I don't come from like the bracket. No one knew who I was. You know, the only reason you would know who I was is if you were a player and you'd been competing or you worked for Blizzard and worked for AWC. Otherwise, I stepped onto the stage talking about esports, you know, and all these players and their statistics and stuff in front of the camera. And 90% of people were like, who the heck is this chick? But, you know, all the players were like, that's Aya. You know, she's been the person adminning my games for the last 3 years. So that part was
the last tournament.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that part was really rough mentally. I dealt with a lot of anxiety. I still deal with a lot of anxiety. I had to seek therapy because the blowback from the community was really harsh. And just the transition, especially of replacing my former host, was really controversial as well. You know, everybody kind of loved him at the time. So it was rough.
But that's I didn't know it. that the community was that hard on you that you had to. Be surprised.
No, you know it's. I think it was a mixture of people not knowing who I was, people wanting Rich there instead because people really liked him as a host, and you know he was a talented host. But it was just a combination of a lot of things, and you know obviously like the woman thing, like oh, who's this girl. Does she even play video games? Does she even play World of Warcraft?
Right.
So
Yeah. Obviously she doesn't.
Obviously not. I'm just here for the clout.
Like, yeah. Almost like, yeah. Yeah. I'm just here for all this.
People say that. Clout. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. The adulation love the clout of the fans. Yeah. That's crazy. So that's a big jump from admin. I'm glad that it worked out that way for you because you're kind of an icon having you on screen. Race to World First is definitely one of the highlights of that. When did you switch over from PvP to a more comfortable world in PvE?
Yeah, so I was in a really weird spot because I was doing both MDI and AWC as an admin. And so I had work all year round because I would be doing every single MDI cup, every single AWC cup behind the scenes. But once I started doing the sideline reporting, I kind of like transitioned to that. And they were like, okay, well, we can't just have you as an admin in the times that you're not on the stage. Basically, it was supposed to be a LAN only sort of job, which is was only like at the time, because this was pre-COVID, only like four shows a year, four to five, because there were like two cups for MDI, two cups for AWC, global finals or whatever, and then there was BlizzCon. So that was like only the only jobs that I had. So I made this like tremendous leap of risk of, okay, I'm gonna do like five gigs a year, and then what? What do I do for money? You know, I basically just gave up my admin job because that's not really fair to just step in when it's convenient for me. So they hired somebody else. And right around that time where I started working at a climbing gym in my free time. I wasn't streaming at the time. I was making like minimum wage in Ohio, which is like no money at all. I was getting super jacked because I was climbing all the time. And like I worked for this really weird, like, old climber granola man that was an interesting dude. He taught me how to like set rocks and stuff, and then so I'd be like rock climbing all day. And then I got a DM like as I'm literally at the climbing gym from Azoria, the former GM of it was Complexity Limit at the time, like, hey, do you know we're needing some more sort of like colorful cast, like color casters, some more personality, less analytical. Would you be interested in hosting the Race World First with us? And I was like, I messaged her back and I was like, that sounds really great. Just so you know, I've never mythic rated in my life, and I come from more of a PvP production background. So it's going to be like a steep learning curve for me. She's like, that's totally fine. Like, we just need, you know, personality. And I was like, okay, I'm doing it. So I did their shows, and then, that brings us to now.
That brings us to now. Wow. I think you made a huge mistake. I think you should have stuck with Granola Climbing Man.
I really did like working there. You know, he got shut down, unfortunately. It was a whole thing. Like, COVID kind of made things weird because
you'd be getting live streams from The Rock.
Yeah. Well, I did post a couple times on Twitter back then. Well, it's funny too, because I was rock climbing so much. I'm not kidding. When I say I got like jacked, I got like my arms were strong. And I went to a LAN event. I did BlizzCon or AWC. I don't know what it was. But, like, you know, I'm holding a microphone like this, interviewing players. And obviously my arm is a little flexed. And, like, the amount of comments I got of, like, she's doing roids. She looks like a man. Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, angry comments about my, like, muscles. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm just addicted to rock climbing. Like, sorry. So that was funny. Wild.
The internet is a crazy place.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, are you jealous? Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not on drugs, I promise.
It's hilarious. I got to go find some doing roids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing roids for my onstage interviews at AWC.
Dude, yeah. I was in the Warcraft chat, like in an unrelated tournament, like that I wasn't even in. And I'm like typing because I was a moderator there at the time. This guy messaged me. This is like months later. He's like, we all know you're on roids, by the way. I was like, dude, relax.
So when you were doing the four to five shows a year, was that as a Blizzard employee or were you still with?
Sorry, I didn't even let you finish your question.
No, that's fine.
I've never been a Blizzard employee. It's always just been contracting work.
Okay.
But yeah, it was directly contracted by Blizzard. And at the time, there wasn't really any GCD stuff going on either. So, I mean, that was literally it. So I was panicking a little bit. I was like, if this doesn't work out, like, I'm just going to have to be like a stay-at-home mom or something for like my little cat. Like, I don't know. Like, this better work out, because Jesus Christ, like, it was frightening. I'm glad we lived in Ohio at the time, because my rent was really cheap. You know, I'm really lucky that Ethan, my boyfriend, was, you know, supportive. And it's not like I wasn't paying rent or anything. I was able to cover it with my rock climbing wages. But yeah.
With your after the steroid use, of course, it was.
Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
cost came off the top.
Those were expensive. So
yeah. So what was it like walking into when you joined them? Were they complexity limit at the time? And then you stayed with them through the transition to Liquid?
Mm-hmm.
What was it like joining that team? Because they were already established at that point.
Terrifying. It was so scary. I was a baby host. Right. You know, I had really only hosted... Actually, I hadn't hosted anything, because at that time I was just a stage interviewer. So I had hosted, I think, like one... Literally, I think one or two... tournaments for GCD TV, so much smaller scale and online. You know, it was at my house. I was with casters that I had known, because I had been working with them for a long time, and that was PvP stuff. I think it was a 6v6 tournament, and then I transitioned over to Mythic rating, which I had to learn all about, because I really had only rated like at a normal, you know, difficulty for however. I just wasn't really into it at the time. So steep learning curve. I didn't know anyone. I had a run-in with Max as an admin during MDI. So I was like, is he going to hate me? Like, I had to tell him to delete a character or something. I don't know what it was, but like, I did have to like discipline him as an admin. Luckily, I wasn't Aya. Again, I was just admin too. He didn't tell me to kill myself or he didn't say he was going to kill me. But, you know, it was like a little awkward. I was like, God, does he remember that? Like, he does. He did remember that. For anyone curious, we're fine now. But no, it was really scary. And they were all friends. I was also like the only woman, which sometimes can be a little bit nerve wracking. You know, the whole desk was men. The whole team was men. The only like really other girlies were like some of the complexity staff that I kind of just like clung to. I was like, I need some girlies. So it was really scary. It was really, really scary for all of those reasons. But everyone on Limit or Liquid, whatever you want to call them now, has been from the beginning extremely supportive. Jet has been one of the ones that I remember something he said to me, like I just remember him specifically giving me some really nice words of encouragement. I feel like Jet's kind of like an OG, because he, you know, helped start the guild, and he's been, I think, the most consistent caster from the beginning. So everyone was really supportive and really nice. And that was quickly diminished, I think, like a couple of days into it. So
nice. That's good. I love to hear that. It's mm-hmm. There's like this weird bubble from like the 25 to 200 range where the guilds are just full of the worst examples of humanity. So it's nice to know that at the upper level that doesn't exist.
It's true for both sides. You know, the MDI players, the AWC players, the Race World First guild, I have always been treated with a lot of respect. Many of them have become really good friends of mine, and I've really never had problems with any of them. So
nice. I love it.
Was to my there, face. Who knows?
Were you, maybe yeah, there. Well, who knows? Behind the scenes, the tales of I'm admin sure, too.
Yeah.
Were you nervous about the sale, the purchase of? I don't even know if that's the right term. Was it a purchase? How did that work?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if they bought it. I have no idea. But I wasn't nervous, but I was really sad, because a lot of people at Complexity put a lot of trust in me as a baby host, and I made really good friends there, people who I still talk to regularly, and I felt so at home at Complexity. I remember the first show I ever did with them, I was even looking at their like career board. I was like, I want to work here. Like, I love these people. So I was just really, really sad when I heard that that the guild was leaving. And I'm not really on the inside too much, so I didn't know if they were going to be going with another org or like what the plan was until obviously the announcement was made. So I wouldn't say nervous, because at the time I didn't really have too many of my eggs in that basket.
Right. So
just more sad that I thought that I wouldn't be able to see some of my friends that worked for Complexity ever again.
At what point did you say, you know what, I'm also going to start streaming full time?
I wish I remembered, but during COVID, the rock climbing gym that I was working at got closed because their rock climbing gyms are disgusting.
Okay.
No matter how hard you do, I mean, it's just like, I don't know if you've ever been in one, but I cleaned it every day. Anyways, COVID climbing gym, no longer a thing. So I was like, cool, what am I going to do with my time? And I hadn't streamed for, I think, 4 years at the time. I thought I was done with it forever. I thought I was just going to kind of work in esports, but I was like, well, you know, I've got time. I need some income. So why don't I pick up streaming again? And, that was in 2020, I think midway through. Well, I guess it was, I'm not really sure. Sometime in 2020. So it was about around that time when I started again.
Crazy. And right away, was it like a warm reception? Were you like, okay, you know what? This is going to work.
No, it was really slow to begin with. I think I started at, because I got partnered right in 2015, I think, right before I sort of quit streaming to finish my degree. And I was on a roll then. I was doing really well on Twitch, and then I just had to stop because of school. And then when I started up again, I think I had an average of maybe 10 to 30 viewers at a time. I'd have to look back in, which is like, I think it's more than average for sure. But, you know, coming from having like a 150 to 200 CCV, which is where I was when I got partnered way back in the day, to there, can I think be like really tough? Like, okay, like what am I doing wrong? But, you know, you take a 4-year break, you can't expect everyone to stick around. And then not only that, I had changed a lot. The Twitch landscape had changed a lot. So every day I was losing followers because I would, you know, I'd like remind them that I'd exist. And they're like, who's this girl? Why am I following her? So they'd unfollow me. And then, you know, back then, partner badges were a lot less common. So I had people coming in all the time, like, you have 30 viewers and a partner badge. Like, what? Why do you deserve this, stupid e-girl? So there was a lot of that too. So there was a lot of self-doubt that crept in and still does every day. And so I just kind of slogged through it, as you kind of have to. And I'd say I'm in a decent place now.
Yeah, yeah. Stop doubting yourself. You're an icon.
Oh, thank you.
And speaking of being an icon, so Team Liquid started a movement, a group, a faction, a program? Program. They started the program called Women in Warcraft.
Yes.
Of which you are one of the loudest voices and one of the most influential people. How important is it to have that in the gaming space, especially in Warcraft?
I feel like the only reason, especially in Warcraft, is just because it's a community that means a lot to me and it's a community that I'm the most part of. But like kind of rubbing elbows with a lot of other titles and a lot of other women that are involved in a lot of other titles, I really don't know if sort of, you know, misogyny and bigotry and that sort of what is the word? Not inclusion. Like, what is the opposite?
Exclusivity? Exclusion?
Exclusivity. Yeah. You know, toxicity, whatever, is any more prevalent in WoW. I don't obviously have any statistical data to back that up. This is just based on talking to marginalized people in other communities. So I do think it's extremely important for those groups to exist in their communities. And I think it's really important for people that are deeply rooted in those communities to start sort of to plant a seed like that. So I think it's really great what they've done. And it is, I don't know if you saw, unfortunately Liquid did pull their funding from that to instead opt for a more broader spectrum of trying to encourage inclusivity rather than just, you know, focusing on WoW, which I think is a positive change. I know a lot of people are really upset about that change, but I think overall, I think it's good for the gaming industry. So I know that they're going to continue organizing Liquid Women of WoW. Adine and Kat are amazing over there. And Hula is doing a lot of work as well. There's a lot of really talented women and individuals that are running that program. So,
yeah. Is there, and I think you're right. I think it speaks to what you mentioned, how it's not exclusive to Warcraft, that we need that sort of, we need those voices to be amplified across the gaming spectrum and not just gaming either. I don't imagine like every industry everywhere. So, yeah. Is that hard? Because people look up to you. So is that hard for you? Or is it like, I don't know, do you ever feel like pressure?
Yeah, I do. You know, sometimes I'll have like an asshole opinion and I think people are kind of shocked or something. Like, I'm like, you know, sometimes I'm gonna, like, if I'm a real person, I'm not like 100% ethical all the time. Like, I tweeted something the other day about, you know, people should stop bringing their children to breweries. And I really pissed some people off with that. I'm like, guys, I'm not this, like, you know, amazing, like, angel person. Like, I know a lot of people look up to me, but sometimes I do feel pressure to be like a good, happy, positive, all, you know, inclusive person. But like, if your kids are going to be screaming at me at a brewery, like, I'm not going to be inclusive. Like, please go away. But no, I do. I've had a lot of women like personally come up to me, especially like at BlizzCon recently, saying how much I meant to them. And I would be holding back tears every time because it really does mean a lot to me. I mean, the last time I was ever at a BlizzCon, I was hoping that there would be someone in the community like that. So it means a lot to me that I can be that person for other women that are up and coming in the community. So I think recently I've sort of taken a bit of a step back on being as loud as I have been in previous years about those kinds of issues, just because I'm really tired of having those arguments. And I think it makes me like maybe not so likable towards some people. And it's, I don't know, it can just be really mentally like challenging to constantly feel like you're just fighting and no one's listening. So, I think I used to be a lot more aggressive than I am now, but.
Now you were just aggressive towards children in breweries. They shouldn't be there though.
Pick your battles. You
know? I don't even want them in movie theaters.
Oh my God. If I could just never see them ever and just pretend they'd know. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I'm sure.
No, for sure, for sure. So you're an incredibly hard worker. You are one of the hardest working people in the space, in the industry. And as we just talked about, lots of pressure and everything. One of the things you do to relax is downhill skiing. And I only found this out recently. I would love to hear about your
downhill. That's so interesting because sometimes I worry I like make it too much of my personality.
No, so, not at all.
I'm glad.
Were you ever going to go to the Olympics? Like, were you that good? Were you Olympics good?
Yeah, I was. I never like qualified, but I was basically on track. I wouldn't have made it. I don't think I would have. Well, perhaps if I skied for Hong Kong. I was born in Hong Kong, and I actually did want to ski for them. If they do have a small racing team, but yeah, I was club racing at that time. I, you know, there's Junior Olympics, which is kind of like the mini version of that. So who knows, maybe like C team, D team. But I had plans on it. I mean, I really, really enjoyed ski racing. I was really good at it. It's the, I think the only thing that I'm really cocky about in my entire life, because I know that I'm really good at it. Gaming, it's my career. And I know I'm shit at it. I know I'm really bad at it. I'm super casual, but you know, if you ever catch me on a ski hill, I am like an elitist. So yeah, I still would love to do some professional level of skiing. I'm really trying to, connect with some of the bigger brands and see if they want like sort of a gaming content creator type of esportsy athlete. Cause a lot of these brands will have like athletes, or, you know, enter some kind of big mountain competition or something. So it's a big part of my life. Yeah.
Skiing, like, you're super active too. So like, not just a gamer, not just an onstage personality, but like, you're super active. Do you play any other sports? Do you do?
Yeah, I play soccer also. I grew up playing soccer, so I still do that. I play on like a beer league. It's a co-ed league, but it's really nice to hang out with non-gamers sometimes.
Right.
Talk about non-esports things, sort of get out of my little gaming bubble and kick around a soccer ball. So I hate gyms. I think they're the most boring thing on the planet. Okay. you know, I think we really need less people pushing the fact that the only way to get in shape is to go to the gym, because God, it's so boring. If you want to do that, if you want to go lift weights, that's totally fine, but that's not for me. I'm a big advocate of just finding a sport that you like and doing that instead. Yeah, running. I do a lot of running as well. Less so because it's been like super cold lately. But right. Yeah.
Do you still live? Yeah. I don't know. You might not want to disclose this. I'm not sure what the level of psychos are that follow you. But do you still live in Ohio?
I do. Yeah, I live in Columbus. Yeah. And it's been warming up. It's been raining, which is weird.
Okay.
But it's winter. It's like there's a pond in my front lawn. So yeah.
Do you ever think about moving to California to be closer to, I guess, the facilities there? Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to move to LA eventually. It's really expensive, as everyone knows. So mm-hmm. it would be a struggle for sure. At the moment, with how esports is, I feel like that's a little sketchy. I feel like I want to wait just to see if this everyone, you know, these mass layoffs and everything kind of calms down, because, you know, who knows, any of my programs could get cut at any moment and I wouldn't be able to afford to move in to LA. So I do think about that. We live here because my boyfriend works for Esports Engine and they're based in Columbus. So we're here for now. Cost of living is cheap. You know, I finally have my own streaming room, which I've never had in a long time. So someday, hopefully, or back to Colorado. Those are W's. Yep.
You take them. I want to talk about voice acting, because you're also a voice actor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, you just didn't have enough to do. You were super bored. You had all this free time.
And, yeah, super bored. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you would add one more thing to the plate. How did you get into voice acting?
Through Team Liquid, actually, you know, sometimes I would be in these commercials and then they would be like, hey, like, would you want to do a quick voiceover for this segment? You know, just read off like, you know, join us as a Race World First, this date, blah, blah, blah. And then I would, you know, people would be like, wow, you're so good at that. And then I would have like random producers that are, you know, producing other things in Team Liquid, like, hey, can you just like read these off real quick? I need a quick voice line. So I kept volunteering for stuff like this. I was like, I really like to do this. Let me know if you need somebody to do this. So I kept doing stuff for them. I mean, my voice is in quite a few Alienware things for them. A lot of Race World First stuff. I did a lot of the guides also for, I think they were the heroic ones. And then Kalamazi picked up the mythic ones. Mm-hmm. And then I started just auditioning for like random commercials, through on the internet, basically. You know, I'm sure AI will be replacing that soon, but I'm in a few. I got a few gigs, you know. Okay. I think one was for like a retirement home, and there was another for like some corporate thing. I don't know, but yeah. So that's that. I don't know. I really enjoy it. I would love to have some small NPC someday in Blizzard, or in World of Warcraft. So
that would be awesome.
That's the dream. Blizzard, that would be great. Listening. Yeah, if you're listening. Yep. I do a sweet Murloc impression. No, I don't. That's a joke.
But, I'm going to ask you to do one.
No, I do not. No, I don't think anyone can. No, I'd have to gargle yogurt, apparently, is how it was originally originally recorded. So
just hearing that sounds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever like applied to any cartoons or animated series or movies or anything?
Yeah. So, I mean, nothing huge. Like, just there's some. So on. The voice audition things, you just send in they give you like a small sample of the script and you send it in. And it's either something like, you know, it could be a character from a video game or from like an animated, like it's a, you know, some random character from an animated series or something like that. So the only ones that I've gotten are more like on the commercial end. But yeah, I just think it's really fun. Like I'm playing Final Fantasy right now and I think it's really fun to just make up voices for people. So someday I think it'd be really fun. It's unfortunately like I don't have a lot of time to do it. So it may never happen for me, but
yeah. Well, are those commercials the most fun thing ever? You're like the one where you dressed up as an elf and the one where you dressed up as the cowboy. One's my favorite.
Yes. Yeah. I love doing that so much. I love acting. The first thing I ever did for Team Liquid was one of those Honda commercials. Right. So I'm like brand new. I've already got imposter syndrome. I'm like, why the heck am I here? I'm like, a fraction of a size that Max is, and I'm doing a commercial with him for some reason in LA. And I show up and there's like a full camera crew and directors and there's catering and I makeup. You literally had like two makeup artists following me around all day. There was literally a guy, I'm not kidding, who was hired to do stuff like follow Max and I around with an umbrella so their makeup didn't melt off. And I'm like, this just feels like, and none of these people know that we're not professional actors. You know, they're just Hollywood film people. So I'm just like so out of my element. I'm like, this is what am I doing with my life? But I love doing them. They're really, Max hates it. I know, but I love it so much. I just think it's super fun. They, you know, the first time they're like, hey, can we like dress you up as an elf? Like, would that be okay? And I'm like, yeah. Like, you realize that's my life dream to dress me up as an elf. Like, yes, please do it. So I have a lot of fun with it. I've learned a lot as well. So, you know, if I ever become irrelevant, I can transition over to the producing side. So
I can hold the umbrella. Really, if you need an umbrella holder,
I'll let you know, you know, maybe you'll become SAG someday. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. Have you ever considered like applying for like a role in like a show?
Yeah. Somebody
series one.
Yeah, I would love to. Someone, I mean, I don't think I'm going to be on Netflix or anything, but someone did give me their card to be in there. I feel really bad because I actually haven't emailed him yet, but he gave me his card to be in his Western show. He was on the set for that, the Western commercial for Honda. And he's like the expert. He brought in a lot of like authentic Western stuff. And like, he was an extra in that. And he's like looking at me and he's like, do you know how to ride horses? And I'm like, yeah, I'm from Colorado. Like, I know how to ride horses. He's like, do you know how to shoot a gun? I'm like, yeah. He's like, do you want to act? I'm like, ugh. So I should email that dude. But yeah, I know exactly where the paper is. I just like, my life has not slowed down ever since that commercial. So
you're gonna be on Yellowstone. This is great.
Maybe. I looked at it was fun. Yeah, I like acting. I like it a lot. So yeah, cool. But it's really boring too. It can be really boring. You kind of just sit there. Like that Western show, it was like 103 that day. I was in a black winter coat basically, and then a vest and a tie and a long sleeve shirt under that, and a thick hat. And a lot of it is like, you literally are just kind of waiting around for them to set up the shot, and then you do like one, like, you know, like that, and then you do like 10 times and like, okay, thank you, and then they set up for the next shot. So some of it is really boring. So if you ever see like pictures of actors on sets and they're just reading or something, they're probably doing the same thing. They're probably just waiting for them to set up the next shot. So, and meanwhile, you're in like a corset or something. So it's great.
Right. That's very cool. You have worked incredibly hard to get to where you're at now, but that also takes like a huge gamble of betting on yourself. How did what were the risks? I guess we know the risks were just not making it, but was there any point when you were like, I've made a mistake, I need to not do this? Or
you know, I was kind of talking about it earlier, how I sort of left behind my admining job and my consistent revenue to do basically like five, maybe, shows a year. So I don't know if I was betting on myself as much as I just kind of like impulsively was like, this seems way more fun. And then after I made that decision, I was like, shit, this may not, this like might not work out. So it may just be more like delusion. I don't know. Okay. And, you know, just kind of assuming it will work out, which I wouldn't advise anyone. Yeah, there's a lot of that. You really do have to advocate for yourself as a content creator, which can feel a content creator or a caster or whatever in this industry, which can feel really cringe because you have to be a little, you have to at least appear like you have an ego and you really like yourself, even if you don't. So yeah, so there's a lot of that day to day. You know, I'm kind of always on the fence of like, damn, should I keep trying to build my own brand, you know, be content creator, be a commentator, whatever, or should I go fall back on any of these producer jobs that, like, I've been offered a few producer jobs, you know, client relation jobs that would be a lot more stable, but I just don't know if I would want to over continuing to pursue this. So every day I feel like I'm sort of choosing myself and hoping it works out in the end.
So. Well, we are glad that you're choosing yourself, and it's definitely working so far, and hopefully continued success in the future. And that's my next question. What does the future hold?
Lord knows. You know, at the moment, I'm kind of like happy where I am. I feel like I'm kind of at a point where I don't know if I really want to be doing more. When I first started casting, I was like, oh, I want to do all the titles. You know, I want to do as many as I can. Like, I love this so much. And now I'm kind of like, you know, I really like doing WoW, and I really like having my own time to make my own content as well. So I'm kind of like, I don't want to say I'm comfy, but I like the sort of the balance that I have right now between doing esports and also doing my own content, and then also helping, because I do producing as well with Team Liquid, so doing that during the Race World first season. So you know, I guess right now I'm just going to continue to grind. I don't really have anything coming up that I can talk about, at least, unfortunately. Yeah, we do have a product coming up, my product. I haven't said anything about it publicly yet, not really, so keep an eye out for that. But
we're gonna speculate.
I'm so slow. Go ahead, speculate. But I'm just so busy.
Brand?
No, but that would have been a good idea. yeah.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but I have to tell you about this season's sponsor. Ever Ember Creative is a studio and agency dedicated to making life easier for streamers. They've helped me shape Recruit a Friend through brand design, video editing, and social media management. But they do so much more than that. Literally anything you need. If you're looking for a team capable of diving deep to help you achieve your goals, however big or small, call them. Also, they're fairly tolerable human beings. Ever Ember Creative. Content ignited. We end every show with a series of questions. And if you are ready, I would like to ask you those now.
Go for it.
Question number one, what is your favorite word?
Okay. Right now, it's Habibi.
Habibi?
Yeah. It means like, it's a Arabic word, and it's like, it's like a term of endearment. It means like my love. Oh. And I just think it's a really cute. I learned that. I heard it the other day, and I already knew what it meant, but drove past like a restaurant that was called Habibi Grill or something. I was like, man, Habibi, that's such a cute word. I'm going to start using that. So Habibi.
I like it. Good answer.
Yeah.
Question number two, what is your least favorite word?
Espresso.
Oh, espresso.
I hate when people say, the amount of people that say espresso is amazing. Like, it's espresso. Like, where's the X? Please tell me. So, it's espresso. Every time, like grinds my ears. I'm like, dude.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm with you. That is, it's a mistake. Yeah. And it's a super common mistake that people make.
Oh, yeah. It's really common. Yeah. Yeah.
Question number three. What sound or noise do you love?
I love. Oh, God. What sound or noise do I love? Wow. I didn't think about these ones. I really like the sound. This is so weird. And if you want me to, I can like go grab it. But the sound of like lipstick closing is so nice. I'm going to go get, hold on. I have to show you. It sounds so good. Hold on. All right. I'm gonna do a little bit ASMR. Hopefully I don't have a filter. Okay. Can you hear like light sounds?
Yep. Can you hear that?
All right. It sounds like it's just like,
oh, that little so, like,
and it kind of like
it's like just a little suction before the clip.
Yeah, it's so nice. Like, it just, it's so satisfying. I don't know.
I dig it. That's great.
With that all day. Yeah. Sorry, it's a weird one, but that sounds.
No, it's good. It's unique. It's a good. Everybody always says rain. Oh, I like rain. Yeah. Okay, I get it. You like rain. I like rain. Yeah. Question number. No offense to any of my guests previously who have said rain. Question number four.
Idiots. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
What sound or noise do you hate?
I hate the noise that I hate scraping on plates a lot.
Yeah.
I hate that noise. Or when my teeth squeak. I think I freak out whenever my teeth, like I chew slightly off and my teeth make a squeak. It's like,
yeah, I always, when that happens to me sometimes, and I'm always worried that like I'm going to snap a tooth right out of my head.
Ugh, I just, even thinking about it, bleh.
Yeah. Oof, okay, moving on. Question number five. What is your favorite dungeon?
Oh, what is my favorite dungeon? Man, I like Maw of Souls, and I wish that they would bring that one back into the rotation. Please,
yeah,
Blizzard.
A fun one. I like that it's short.
Exactly. Yeah, and the last boss, I feel like, was always kind of fun. Pain in the ass to observe back when I was an MDI observer, but...
Oh, how does that work? We're going to have a sidebar. Do you actually control a camera in the game?
Oh my God, it's so ridiculous. So I was a part of the original crew that sort of developed how observing works for that program. They literally, like, you are a character. Because there's no observing client for WoW, at least not, well, there's for Arena now, but there wasn't for a while. But you were literally an invisible floating man in the sky that's swimming because you're flying. Like, it's doing the swimming animation. If you were to zoom out and take the invisible effect off, and you're just kind of swimming around, watching them, like pointing your camera at them. And there's a lot of like really ridiculous settings that you have to have on in order for it to not like break. Like you have to make sure you have to know the dungeons really intimately, because there's like invisible walls in some places. There's some walls where if you go like through them, you won't be able to go back through the rest of the instance. So like your character can kind of get stuck, and you can't really like, you're in first person view and you can't see your character. So it's like, you can't just get yourself unstuck while you're like live. Right. And there's like all these like weird little settings that you have to have on so that nothing pops up. Like, like raid markers or like texts or whatever like that. So that's another one that is really hard. The shout out to the observers on MDI, because it is tough.
There's so many dungeons, like you mentioned walls. There's so many where it's like you're in a hallway and they're
Maw of Souls was a bad one, really bad. That was my least favorite, I think. My favorite to do, but my least favorite to observe, even though it was really short. But going under the ship was really hard to make it look nice.
Right, that's a real skill. It's almost like camera work at that. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
All right, question number six. What is your least favorite dungeon?
Nomragon.
Really? Do you get lost?
I don't get lost, but I just remember doing that one as a kid a lot and just hating it. Like, it was so long. And I think multiple times I had to just leave because my mom was like, dude, you have to, like, it's dinner time. So I would just leave.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I don't like Nomragon. I don't know if I'm saying that right either.
I mean, you're saying it as close to anybody else who is saying it.
Yeah.
So I don't know it well enough to say it's wrong. No more Reagan.
No, people know what I'm talking about. It's the one in the gnome area. Yeah.
Yeah. Question number seven. What is your favorite curse word?
Man. I don't know. This is a good question. I don't know. I think it's funny to say like, oh, snap, or something.
Okay.
But obviously that's not a curse word. But I also really like, I don't even think I can say it. You can just bleep it out. It'll be funny. Like, cunt.
Yeah, no, we've said that before.
That's a great one. Listen, as a woman, I don't think we should not say that word. I think it's censored too much. It's a good one. It feels good to call someone that.
Yep.
And we should bring that one back. In America. In other countries, it's totally casual. But in our country, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's like that in Canada, too. It's like it's like super banned everywhere.
Yeah, we're closer to you than... So we've had Australian guests and UK guests.
Oh, yeah.
And they just, like, Dark Mac was just rolled right off his tongue. Dark
Mac.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in Canada, it's the same. It's said less. It's got, like, that... The hard C's have that sort of, you know, oh, don't say those. But, yeah, everywhere else is, like, whatever.
Come on. Stop discriminating. It's a good one.
Yep. That's right. Okay, question number eight. What is your favorite raid?
I don't know if I have a favorite raid, because I'm not like, you know, I don't have like a history of doing every single tier, so I don't have ones that are like sentimental to me, like I'm sure like you do or many people that are really into raiding.
Or maybe your favorite one to cast.
Yeah, that's the route I think I'm going to go. You know, the first, like, let's see. I like ICC because I did do that one, like, when it was kind of current content. And I really like the proto drake that you can get from that, from the 25 mount one. Mm-hmm. It's like that black proto drake. Wait, is that ICC or is that Old War?
Old War has the
proto drakes. Old War. Yeah. ICC is like a little skelly, like a little skeleton dragon. So Old War, excuse me. I think it's cool that it's got the different environments in mm-hmm. it, which is fun. And then Mimiron's head is, I got that recently, which I'm thrilled about. So that one's a good one. Thank you so much. Best day of my life. Literally like 3,000 tries on that. It was terrible.
Crazy.
Yeah. Or I like Nighthold because that one was the first raid that I ever like really did heroic on ever, which is probably sounds like people are probably like, wow, that's the first one ever. But I'm a little baby raider. I like Nighthold. Yeah, I think
three listeners.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And DKs were really good in that tier too. So I like, and then I think I like Nyalotha because that was the first race that I ever casted. And it was a good, I think it was like a pretty well received raid as far as I know. So
cool. Yeah. Good answers. All of those are good answers. And Nyalotha was a banger. Question number 9. What is your least favorite raid?
Oh, the Boston one, dude. That was a hellhole.
Sepulchre, the first one.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Sepulchre. Yeah. My God. I think about that, and I'm like, ugh. Sometimes I still think I'm, like, trapped. Yeah, I don't even want to say it. I won't say it, you know? It's like the raid that shall not be named. No, I just, I don't even, it's so interesting. Like, that period of my life, I just think about Boston. Like, my Racer World First coworkers, like, we don't even say the tier or, like, anything. Like, remember back in Boston when, like, da-da-da-da? Like, it's... Yeah, that was hell.
Yeah, you guys that one for a long time. You because you went. Oh early, my god, didn't you?
I did. I went like, I think 8 days early or something like that. Just because I was, I was producing and stuff. We were also filming a lot of things, so I went early. And we stayed in a mall. Basically, we weren't even really in Boston. We were in this little esports cafe thing that was near the stadium. For their team, their football team. I don't know what they're called. I'm not even joking.
Patriots, maybe?
Yeah, that one. The Patriots. Yeah. They have like a mall that's kind of outside of the city. And it's literally just a shopping mall. And like, there's not even good stores. It's just a terrible shopping mall. And the ladies that worked at Dunkin' Donuts, the only coffee shop that was there, were like the meanest women ever. And the weather was terrible. And I had to walk like pretty far every day to get to my hotel. And there was no windows in the building, and I had a lot of drama also in my personal life at the time, which like gave me health problems. You know, my stalker got arrested. So it was just like, there was so much going on in my life.
We didn't even talk about your stalker.
Oh, we can talk about him if you want. He's in jail now.
You had a stalker?
Jail? So it's a long story. Do you know who Nolly Please is?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of her stalker. Really just absolutely psychotic guy. He sort of like fell in love with her and became obsessed with her. And then for some reason thought that like we were connected, even though I didn't even really know Nolly that much. She just like hosted me a few times. So decided to kind of like stalk and harass me just through association. So I got a lot of like death threats from him, and like every single day I would open my phone, I'd have like an email from him or a tweet from him just like doxing Nolly and saying he's going to come after me because I'm friends with her. And it was like a year of that almost. Nolly had to deal with it for like 4 years, but you can Google him. His name's Evan Baltierra. It's a public a lot of articles on it. But I went to the trial.
That's crazy.
That was weird. Yeah, that was scary. But
is hopefully you've not had any experiences like that since.
There's always people that are saying crazy shit in my DMs for sure, and there's been a couple of others that I would say are a little bit parasocial, but nothing to that degree.
Yeah.
Now,
you ever have knock on wood. Having somebody proofread your DMs, like just paying somebody to just filter
I just, I, you know, I've just turned them off at this point. I have Discord DMs off. I mean, they go to requests now just because I have too many people that from work that try to contact me. So I've removed my email everywhere. My DMs are off everywhere. So they'll probably stay like that. It's nice. I don't have mean people contacting me, and I also don't have people like lowballing me about some NFT sponsorship or something like that. So,
well, that reminds me, I wanted to talk to you about the Recruiter Friend NFT.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Give me your, Love that. I would make an NFT joke, but I literally don't know anything about them except for like, I just don't care. Like, if you're into it, that's totally okay. But I just don't care.
Cool. Question number 10. We got sidetracked again. I'm sorry. Question number 10. If Azeroth was real, where would you call home?
Well, I would do Teldrassil, but does that count?
Since it's... Yeah, that counts.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I love the Night Elves. I love the Night Elf aesthetic, even though I'm Horde, but just anything Night Elf. So, Teldrassil, you know, cool. the new area, Mirsil, really nice. Mount Hajal, Darnassus.
Yeah, the Night Elf aesthetic is like, it's just, it's so connected to nature, I feel.
So pretty. Yeah. That commercial with the Night Elf running, she like turns into a, you know, like a panther or something. That commercial, I was like, holy fuck, this game is so cool. I need to play it. So
yeah, this is the best game ever.
Best game ever. Yeah.
I love it. That's it. That's the whole show. I want to thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Can you
tell our listeners?
No, I love the rambling. The rambling was great. I feel like we could have gone for more time, but I know you're busy, so we won't. Can you tell our friends where they can find you?
Yeah, I am Iya Wow, E-I-Y-A Wow, on literally everything except for Twitch. It's just Iya on Twitch. That's it. I put out content on every single platform, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, pretty much every single day. So go check me out. I'm also streaming through the Final Fantasy MSQ at the moment, if anyone's into that. I've cried a lot. If you want to watch me cry, you can do that. So head on over.
And friends, if you're looking for us, you can find us on Twitter at RAF_podcast. You can subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you're inclined, drop us a review. They do help the show get discovered. And remember, in a world where you can be anything, be kind.